Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
All right. Hey, everybody. It's me. It's Sam Freeman. I am here with Miss Stephanie Nugebauer, your normal host for the Life Ministry Friends for Life podcast. Excuse me. And we have a very special guest here with us. Miss Allison, can you introduce yourself?
I am the CEO of Woman's New Life Clinic in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Wow. It's awesome. We got a high roller here with us, Miss Stephanie.
We do. Listen, I've known Allison now for a year and a half, maybe. Tiffany's known you for, I think, two. But it's been so awesome prepping for this youth gathering with you. And your staff has especially been passionate, curious about what we're doing, very eager to support us as we're trying to support you all. And it's cool because these kind of things, we don't want to just swoop in and be like, you know what, we helped them for just these 3 days, you know, right. We were here. We're hoping to provide some ongoing kind of relational support and prayers for these guys. They're doing really good work.
Yeah. It was awesome. I got to come down and check out the facility whenever we picked up the, I'm just going to call it the ultrasound machine. Is that the correct terminology?
Yes. Yeah. Good job.
Okay. Sam.
Yeah.
Man, I'm on fire over here. We got to check out the facility and everything and kind of check that place out. And it was very neat. And it's just super cool. It's just really neat what you guys are doing down here in Louisiana. And getting to be a part of this for me is extremely gratifying. And it's just a really cool, really cool experience.
What struck you about her clinic? Like, what did you like seeing about that?
Well, so I know we talked about this a little earlier. The location is in, I'm not going to say questionable because that's a little maybe too on the nose, but it's just in a different part of town. And the fact that you guys are right there in the thick of it to be a resource to whoever. And I know that you said you have some people that'll come up to the doorstep at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you guys are just there as a resource. So for me, just seeing where you're at, what you guys are doing. And it was just a really neat facility. I've never been into a pregnancy center like that, if that's the correct terminology. Is that a pregnancy center?
So we're in a licensed medical and mental health clinic, actually. Okay. So yeah, we do free pregnancy services for women and free mental health support for women in unplanned pregnancies. We do free pregnancy tests, free limited obstetrical ultrasounds, and then free professional counseling. So we employ licensed clinical social workers and provisionally or fully licensed professional counselors. So these are women that have received a master's degree and then they're in their licensure to be clinically trained to encounter women in a crisis.
Yeah.
We believe that the issues that women present to our clinic are deserving of clinical attention. So we offer that support for women, their partners, their parents, anybody involved in the pregnancy-making decision. And then we can also provide grief support and just counseling support for women struggling with a pregnancy loss, like miscarriage or stillbirth, anyone impacted by a past abortion. It may be the woman, her partner, it could be grandparents that realized they lost a grandchild to abortion. And that could have taken place a week ago, a day ago, or 50 years ago.
Right.
We have, you know, encouraged and walked with men and women of all ages and walks of life to heal from that experience. We also offer support for postpartum depression as well.
Yeah.
And so we've been doing this. We're actually coming up on our 25th anniversary next March, 2026. We'll make 25 years that we've been in New Orleans. We've been in Baton Rouge since 2013. Okay. And it's been a great blessing to provide these services for women. And just if I can say what a great blessing it's been working with LCMS for the last few years in preparation for this amazing youth gathering.
Yeah.
It is a great blessing to our clinic, our team, and of course, the women that we're serving to be able to bring witness to thousands of our youth to about, you know, the work that we do and just the dignity of the human person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something that struck me, Allison, and I've worked in four different pregnancy centers and I've been to many different pregnancy centers across the nation. Now, I know you kind of differentiate yourself from that, as in you are fully licensed as a medical clinic, but it's beautiful. Honestly, it felt kind of, if I can say, state of the art. I mean, you walk in and it's a completely remodeled building in a sort of depressed area of New Orleans. And the fact that you're there offering dignified support and care is a very beautiful thing. And I would think that women walking through your doors would have the same experience I did in, and coming in and seeing like the beautiful outdoor light flooding into your,
yes,
you know, sitting room, these beautiful exam rooms that you, yeah, have. You have a new ultrasound machine. You have just kind of top of the line clinical care for your ladies. And that is a true blessing for women,
yeah,
for babies, for women's partners too.
It absolutely is. And it's something that we knew for 25 years, we've either been around the corner from or right next door to abortion facilities. Okay. We want to be as close to the need as possible. Women so often are not considering abortion because they felt it's their political right, their right as a human being, you know, their legal right. Women don't feel like it's their body, their choice. They often feel like they have no other choice. And so when women are, you know, scraping together money to find, you know, the funds to provide, you know, have an abortion, we want to be right there as close to her as possible. When women call us and seek our services, we of course let them know that we will never provide abortion or refer for it. But the importance of the services that we do provide are just so critical for her when she's making that decision.
Yeah.
We'll even provide ride share assistance if needed, anything that it takes to get her to us. We already know many, many women are struggling financially. They have a lack of emotional support. So as soon as we can get them to us and surround them in loving care, the better.
Yeah. All right. So Miss Allison, I would like to throw it back a little bit. How did you get into this? How did you come to be so active in such a, I don't want to say niche part, mm-hmm, but this is a very specific healthcare profession. I mean, tell me your story. How did you get here?
Okay, great. Thank you for asking. So I got a bachelor's in biology and with the intent of becoming a doctor, but instead the Lord just put me on a path to be a wife and mother. And so I taught biology and anatomy and physiology to high school girls for a few years before I became a stay-at-home mom for 11 years. And financial circumstances warranted that I go back to work. And in 2015, I was good friends with my predecessor at the clinic. And I didn't, you know, I always had a great passion for life, and I'll talk about that, but I didn't realize the Lord had truly been preparing me for this. And I went into church on a Sunday and I just knelt down and said, Lord, help me find a job that's right for me, right for my family, and according to your will. And I sat down. And after the church service, she actually had been there to talk about our clinic. There was a fundraiser, a baby bottle campaign at the church. Yep. She happened to be there, completely a coincidence. I saw her. I was like, oh, she's there. And I met her in the narthex of the church. And it was like a scene out of a movie. The crowds parted and she saw me and she grabbed my hand and she said, Allison, are you still looking to go back to work in the fall? And every hair on the back of my neck stood up and went, Lord, that was fast.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you surrender. You know, it's just this very profound and deep and simple surrender to the Lord in that moment. And in that case, he really did answer me quickly. And she and I met over several meetings. And I've been a stay-at-home mother for 11 years. I'm like, what gifts do I have? And the Lord showed me he'd truly been preparing me all my life.
Yeah.
My mother was an OBGYN nurse. And so she had really exposed me to a lot of truths about the abortion industry and medications that act as abortifacients, meaning they can cause abortion, you know, as mechanisms of the, you know, how they work. And she had really introduced that to me. My grandmother had shared with me just truths. And I just started reading a lot on my own and just, you know, in my faith, just growing in my faith and just learning that, no, indeed, he had been preparing me for this. So I was hired as the associate director. I dabbled a little bit in everything. I did fundraising. I did church campaigns. I did our fundraising events and I did some clinic management. Mm-hmm. And then I ultimately started working in our Baton Rouge clinic as well. So I had a great relationship with our staff, a great understanding of the work that we do, great, you know, understanding and getting to know our donors. And so when my predecessor had stepped down or announced that she was stepping down in 2019, the Lord called me to deep prayer again and the board, you know, calling on me too. And so I interviewed and then became, you know, was chosen as the CEO. And so I assumed that responsibility January 1 of 2020.
Oh, wow.
So for the last, you know, 5.5 years, I've been the CEO and seen the clinic through so many amazing things, amazing growth, you know, in 3 months in, I'm in the thick of COVID.
And
looking at restrictions there and navigating how best to serve women and, you know, the quickest we could and the easiest ways we could get to them. And then in 2022, of course, we saw Roe overturned and then our Baton Rouge clinic was vandalized. So we, you know, by a group called Jane's Revenge, but we've seen a lot. We also, for the last 10 years, have had women's health. So in addition to all the free life-affirming medical and mental health services for women, including abortion pill reversal, we also have nurse practitioners on staff in each city. So we do well woman care, STI testing and treatment. We remove Nexplanons and IUDs, which are forms of artificial contraception. We provide just urgent gynecologic care, anything a woman needs. I think I said prenatal care up to 20 weeks. But we also offer instruction in fertility education because we truly believe we got to get ahead before a woman finds herself in an unplanned pregnancy. Let's just empower her and fill her with knowledge about her own body. Yeah. And if she understands her fertility, if she understands her cycles, if she can understand how the Lord designed her, she'll have a healthier respect for herself and she'll be making better sexual health choices. And we hopefully will never see unwanted pregnancies or unplanned pregnancies anymore.
Yeah. Stephanie, do you have anything? Because I have another question. It'll kind of take us a different direction.
Yeah,
do you have anything?
Can follow up with that because what I'm hearing is a resounding care for women.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes in pro-life and in the pro-life area, we will be kind of discounted for the fact that we only care for babies and birthing babies. And we don't really care much about the moms. We just want a birthed baby. And so we're pro-life, but like, you know, just for that moment until babies are born. And that is the opposite of my experience in all of the pregnancy centers I've worked in. And that's the opposite of my impression of your services that you offer. In fact, and not that it's a competition because we want to care for mom and baby equally, but what I hear is mom first. Let's listen to what is going on. Let's care for her needs and not just like pregnancy, but well women health, mental health, education, fertility, as you said. It's a really great testament to the power of actually what the real Christian pro-life position, which is care for mom and baby. And that is how it's been for centuries in OBGYN care. And to kind of have a resurgence of that it's exciting. And I'm proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm proud of you kind of being a symbol for what it actually means to be pro-life Christians.
Thank you so much for saying that. I stand on the shoulders of giants. Our founder and my predecessor just truly laid a beautiful groundwork for me and for our staff. And we cannot do anything for the baby if we don't take care of mama first.
Absolutely.
You know, we can't help him or her if we don't help mom first. So we say love them both.
Yeah.
That is the Christian response.
Yes.
We are called to love them both.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, Sam, you go ahead. Take us off track.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, obviously, I'm a man. Okay. So.
And that is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
We love men too. We don't hate men.
No.
Okay?
No. Yeah.
That's the other thing.
And I don't feel any sort of hate at all. But there have been times in the past when I've tried to eloquently communicate, you know, how I feel about being pro-life and how all life has value. And there's been some conversations with some pushback. So. As a man, and I know it's two completely different things, how would you recommend young men to go and communicate their pro-life stance with care and compassion? How do they do that?
Stand up for women. I say it as often as I can, especially if I have audiences of all young men, like stand up for women, show them respect in every facet of life. Show respect and stand up for your sisters, your mothers, your grandmothers, your aunts, godmothers, anyone, your friends, your peers. You know, men are, our society really wants to quiet men and say, this has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with you. And so women in our clinic, time and again, come to our clinic and sometimes the partners are there. Most often they're not. But when they are there, they're often sitting silently. Now, in their defense, they feel like, well, I have no voice in this. I have no say in this because legally they don't. And that's incredibly sad for men. Sometimes men do abdicate their responsibility. And you can see the women sitting there silently, like screaming, like, just say you've got my back. That's what they, and I'm sure, Stephanie, that's been your experience in all your work with pregnancy centers. Like women just want to know men will take care of them. This is how God designed us. Men are here and, you know, we are here to help one another, to be helpmates, but men should protect women and just guard their dignity. And if we had women, if men were there and were present and saying, I've got you, we can do this. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
rather than saying one of two things, I don't care, it's up to you, it's on you, and putting that burden entirely on her. And yeah. that's probably the majority of the time. They either say that or they say, you're out of my life. If you don't end the pregnancy, I'm not doing this. You know, so they if we just had men who said, yes, let's figure this out together. So okay. just love women. And I'm not speaking just to the guys who have a partner that's pregnant. I'm talking about, you know, at 12 and 13, husbands, fathers, show your sons how to love by how you love your wife, by yeah. how you love your daughters. We have to bring that back. And the importance of, you know, the marriage and just taking care of the family.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, I've heard it a lot, but marriage is the foundation for mm-hmm. how well a society is going to be ran and how well and successful society is going to be. And when you start to take marriage, you take male and you take female and you start blurring the lines and things kind of get a little weird. That's when society starts to get a little weird. So I 100% agree. I think that is extremely crucial that myself, young men, fathers, they need to know how to love and appreciate mm-hmm. and respect women, just like women should know to love and appreciate mm-hmm. and respect men. It's yeah. a give and take. It's a team thing. And it's very disappointing and upsetting to see women being told, you know, men are your adversary. Men aren't here for you. They're not. It's your body. It's your choice. It's mm-hmm. your decision. It should be a decision for a family. Mm-hmm. It's a new family that's being formed. And it's good to hear your point of view and your advice on that as well. I appreciate that. And I hope that there's some young men listen to this and take that to heart. Because I've grown up in a house where my father loved my mother, still loves my mother very deeply.
He still loves his mother.
And she loves him. I have two great parents, yeah. and it's just amazing to get to watch both of them grow together, grow old together, and love each other mm-hmm. more and more every single day. So that's just awesome, and I appreciate that insight.
Can you share some of the stories that have especially sat heavy on your heart, but have ended in like abundant joy? Somehow the Lord worked
yes.
through your center and brought forth beautiful life out of some challenging hardships. I mean, that is the theme of sure. this gathering, is to endure.
Absolutely.
And you and I know very well that most of these women that you care for in your clinic have a lot that they've had to endure in their life, and pregnancy just being one of them.
That's right.
So
I thank you for asking that. We could probably be here all day. I think, you know, just to establish, many women that are coming to us, they may be in situations where there is domestic violence, there is verbal abuse. For many women, we find out it's generational. It's normal to her because it's all that she has grown up with. It's what she saw as a child. It's what her children are now seeing.
Yeah.
And women are speaking to what we said a moment ago about men not supporting them. So we see that. I can think of one client in particular. We are nearby the Salvation Army in New Orleans. And there was a woman that was staying at the Salvation Army, and we're just two doors down. And she was in need of some housing support. She was widowed. She had two children, and their father was deceased. So she was coming to us. She saw another facility nearby and said, I don't want to go there. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, Woman's New Life Clinic. I like the sound of that. She came in and worked with our social worker. She came back soon after, though, realizing that she had a pregnancy, an unplanned pregnancy.
Yeah.
We walked with her. She came in for our counseling, the free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, you know, to confirm all of that. I worked with the counselor ongoing. And she just needed a lot of support. It was a lot to juggle being homeless, now having three children. And she also became a patient for our woman's health nurse practitioner, which was amazing.
Yeah.
She's remarkable. The women overwhelmingly are just so beautiful and brave and strong. And they fiercely love their families, and they just need support. So that's one woman that I can think of who came from homelessness and, you know, with a job and children. And I love to watch her love her children.
Yeah.
It's always a great joy when she comes to our clinic to visit. We really appreciate that. Something I had mentioned a minute ago was abortion pill reversal.
Yes.
Which is so critical. We love that this, you know, medication and protocol actually exists. I think in 2024, we had something like 20 women that came to us for abortion pill reversal. And it's remarkable. We had a young girl, a teenager, who had taken the abortion pill. She'd gotten them in the mail, which is not legal in Louisiana, but she was able to obtain them very easily because that law has been really difficult to enforce. So women, you know, and no one's criminalizing any woman for obtaining these. We're trying to stop the folks from selling them though, because it is harmful for her. So we had a teenager who actually took the first in the two sets of medications for the abortion pill and got scared. And I just love seeing the Lord's hand in this story. She shared this with her mother, and her mother said, okay, let's figure out if we can stop it.
Yeah.
And they went online. And so again, another miracle, the mother found, because some of the internet algorithms make it really hard to find abortion pill reversal, unfortunately.
Yes.
But mom was able to find the abortion pill reversal network, and our provider was in her town. You know, they look to see, where do you live? And they go, oh, okay, Woman's New Life Clinic provides APR. That's what we call it. And we were able to bring her in and see her very healthy baby that Monday. So, I mean, we get those calls, our nurse practitioners, not me, our beautiful nurse practitioners take those calls in the middle of the night, usually on a weekend. So they know the local 24-hour pharmacies to get that progesterone medicine to her, got her on the protocol, and she had a very healthy baby.
That's awesome.
And it was great. And I believe she made an adoption plan, you know, so I think God is so good. You know, yeah. we love seeing that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, Miss Allison, I don't have any more questions. I know, Miss Stephanie, you got another ultrasound coming up here pretty soon.
I need to do an ultrasound in a couple minutes.
That's awesome. Yes.
Why don't you ask her if you'd be willing? I'm sure she'd love to talk about the abortion pill reversal.
And would you like to talk about that?
Sure. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Okay. I am going to bow out. I appreciate so much, what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And Allison, thank you for being our guest. But not only that, just for being here.
We love y'all. Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. So, Miss Allison, let's talk a little bit. Did you call it APR? Abortion?
APR. Yeah. APR stands for abortion pill reversal.
Okay.
So I can explain that process.
Give us the science on it. So how does it work?
In order to understand abortion pill reversal, we have to first understand how the abortion pill process works.
Okay.
When we talk about abortion pill, we say it in the singular tense, like abortion pill. It's actually a two-step process involving two medications.
Okay.
RU486 was the medication, the pharmaceutical, you know, like in the first iterations of the drug. It came out, I think, I'm not great on the history, but maybe around 2000, 2001.
Okay.
Abortion pills became a thing as an alternative to surgical abortions that are offered inside abortion facilities. And this became a great way in the eyes of the abortion industry for women to terminate pregnancy.
Right.
So the way the abortion pills work, the first pill is called mifepristone, and it is a drug that acts as a progesterone blocker. It cuts off progesterone from the mother's body to getting to the baby. So let's back up a step. In early weeks of pregnancy, progesterone is the hormone mom's body is producing to nourish the baby in those early weeks. So while the placenta is being formed inside her uterine wall and the baby's there, baby's being nourished by this hormone, progesterone. Mifepristone works by blocking the effects of progesterone, the progesterone from getting to the baby. And the baby essentially starves to death. It passes away. About 2 days later, she's going to be instructed to take the second set of pills. The second set of pills is called misoprostol. Misoprostol is kind of in the same category of other labor-inducing drugs like Cytotec and Pitocin. So listeners might be familiar with those drugs. We often give those to women to induce labor when they're full term. So we do this in the hospital or, you know, in a birthing center under the guidance of medical providers, you know, doctors, nurses, midwives, you know, anyone, certified nurse midwives, folks who are trained to help and assist a woman in delivering her child. So sometimes those drugs are utilized to induce labor.
Yep.
But with the abortion drug, misoprostol, it's actually much more concentrated dosage. And that is going to be administered. A woman can take these pills on her own.
Wow.
She can take the pills, and that's going to cause intense contractions and intense heavy bleeding to literally expel the contents of her uterus, which includes her deceased baby.
Wow.
The extreme dangers of this is now the abortion industry is really pushing for women to do this at home and not tell anyone. And it's incredibly dangerous for so many reasons.
Yeah.
A woman, you know, in our experience at Woman's New Life Clinic, 80% of our clients are wrong about where they think they are in a pregnancy. Many women cannot remember when their last menstrual period was. They're not certain about how far along they think they are in their pregnancy. Some come in saying, I think I'm 6 weeks along based on their last period. and they might be 16 weeks along, you know, which is a big difference. The FDA only approves the use of abortion pills up to 10 weeks. So this is a very dangerous practice. If we're telling women, get these pills in the mail without any medical oversight, we're not confirming, A, is the pregnancy still viable? Is there a heartbeat? B, how far along are you in the pregnancy?
Right.
You know, are you too far along for these medications? And then C, is your pregnancy in your uterus? We are looking at these important ultrasounds that Stephanie's doing right now. We want to confirm that the pregnancy is intrauterine. It's inside her uterus.
Yep.
Anything outside the uterus is considered an ectopic pregnancy. And it can be life-threatening for any woman to have an ectopic pregnancy. But if a woman has never seen a provider, never had an ultrasound to confirm her pregnancy is progressing in her uterus, and she takes these pills at home, we could have all kinds of problems if it's ectopic.
Right.
Do we know if she has a blood clotting disorder, for example?
Yeah.
She should not be enduring what will be incredibly painful, incredibly violent at home alone. So Dr. George Delgado is an amazing pro-life physician that looked at the mechanisms of the abortion pill. How is it working? How is it terminating a pregnancy? And he saw the first pill, mifepristone, was blocking progesterone, mama's progesterone, from getting to the baby. And he realized, okay, for decades, the FDA has approved the use of bioidentical progesterone to assist women who are threatening to miscarry. Many women whose pregnancies end in miscarriage is because their body's just not making enough of the hormone progesterone
right.
to sustain a pregnancy. So for decades, the Food and Drug Administration says, hey, let's authorize, we can give women progesterone to help save the pregnancy.
Okay.
He said, if we do the same thing, it's 100% safe for mother, 100% safe for baby. If we can do the same thing with the abortion pill, there's a chance. It's not a 100% guarantee. There are no 100% guarantees in life.
Right.
But there's a great chance we can actually override the mechanisms of mifepristone mm-hmm. and save the pregnancy. Okay. Unfortunately, if she takes the second pill, it's probably too late for her.
Right.
So there is, I think, nationally a 65 to 68% success rate. We're hovering around that. I think we're closer to 70% at Woman's New Life Clinic, but it just, you know, a lot of it depends on how long ago did she take the medication, the abortion pills? How soon did she start taking progesterone? How far along was she in her pregnancy? Those sorts of things really matter. Okay.
So that was a lot of great information, but a lot of information that I haven't heard before. Mm-hmm. So I had the privilege of standing next to you and you're like, oh, look, there's a tan, there's a feet. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, that is incredible. And I told you the last time I was in a room like that was when I was, I think, 3 or 4 and my mom was pregnant with my little sister. And it's just, it was very vague. It was like, okay, that's my sister on the screen. It just looks like a gray screen. I don't really know what I'm looking at here. Now that I'm 23, it's like, oh wow. Like I'm thinking, I want to have kids. I want to have a family. Sure. You know, I have a wonderful girlfriend and, you know, she's in the medical field. So we talk about all kinds of medical things, you know, her cycle, you know, women's reproduction, just all
Praise
that kind
God.
Of stuff,
That's awesome.
You know,
yeah.
because she thinks it's extremely important and it is. I think it's extremely important and we need to make sure that we're cherishing all possible life and all life in general. But yeah, getting to kind of sit there and watch Stephanie perform that ultrasound, it was just like, wow, there's a whole life inside of this woman. It is, its heart's beating, it's living in there.
That's
and
right.
it's been living there for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And when it comes out, it's going to continue to live, Lord willing, for the 80, 90 years. It's
That's
just,
right.
it's such a blessing. And I can't imagine the amount of miracles that you get to experience through childbirth and just getting to help these women. It's such an amazing thing. And
thank you.
The world is a better place because of people like you, Miss Allison.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
I'm grateful to God. We have an amazing team in both New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And all of us feel that we're truly called by God to do this work.
Yeah.
And we don't claim victory. We don't claim defeat. We don't claim lives saved. We truly believe the Lord's using us as his instruments to empower women to choose life for their children. So we are literally witnessing we're doing life affirming work, but we are witnessing lives changed and women, you know, saving the lives of their children. And, you know, in many ways it saves them as well. It's incredible.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, that's awesome. I don't have any other questions. I just really appreciate the opportunity to
Thank
get
you.
To speak with you and learn from you. It's just super neat to be able to be, you know, in this area, in this world, and to learn about
the beauty of life and how valuable it is. And to learn from someone like yourself, it's just a blessing. So I appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to you.
Likewise. I appreciate y'all. God bless you.
Ma'am. Thanks so much. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
For joining us, Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.